Luke 8, verse 43, looking at a familiar passage, reads as follows. There it is. This is going to help all the women get back, because I was talking about men, and the first thing I see is woman in the scripture. Verse 43, now a woman, everybody say woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians. Everybody say she was broke. That means she spent all her money. She had nothing left in the bank. She spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. It says she came from behind and touched the border of his garment, meaning Jesus. And verse 40, what did I leave you at? 44, I'm sorry, these eyes, y'all keep praying for these eyes. Came behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press. Everybody say press. Press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus says, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Father, we thank you for these words this morning. We ask that you bless, you touch, you anoint, you saturate these words in our ears, oh God, to continue to strengthen us as we become that relentless child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we started last week, I jumped into a series called Relentless. Everybody say Relentless. And as we were speaking and have been speaking on Relentless, last week we talked to understand that as a child of God, it should be your growth process, that as you are a Christian, you should be relentless. It should be in your DNA. It should be part of who you are as a child of God. Because as we looked at, when we're relentless, it means to be constant. It means to press. It means to not give up. It means to stay steady, to stay the course. And as we looked at it last week, we began to understand that we looked at a few things that tell us why we should be relentless, and one was because we serve a God who is relentless. We serve a God who we are made like God, and God is very relentless. He has been in pursuit of you for ever since you were born to get you back to him. And so when you have the DNA of God in you, that means in every part of your essence we should be like God. And so one of the things is that you have it in you to be relentless. You have it in you. If you are a child of God, you are a Christian, giving your life to Christ, you have everything inside of you to be relentless if you desire to be relentless. That means that you have a I don't quit button inside of you, that I don't give up button inside of you. That means that when you feel like you can't go on any further, if you're made in the image of God and you're a child of God, that means that all you got to do is hit my I don't quit button and you can keep on keeping on. That if you hit that I'm not giving up button, that God will give you the extra oomph you need to stay the course in whatever it is that you need to stay the course in, because you are made like God. So that means you have that relentless tenacity inside you. Even if you think that's not who I am, that's not how I'm made, I'm quiet, I'm an introvert, the devil is a lie. You have the Spirit of God living in you, and the Spirit of God is relentless. And if you got that in you, you are relentless. Touch your neighbor, say you are relentless. One of the reasons we talked about you have to be relentless is understanding that you have opposition. And opposition, whenever there's blessings, there's opposition. And what we've got to understand is that you have got to be relentless in order to get what God has for your life. And we talked about one of the strategies of the devil is, and I want to make sure you got this, just a real recap, is to understand that the devil himself is a relentless foe. But he's also a defeated foe. I don't know if you know this, but he is literally already defeated in every area of your life. Let me say that one more again, maybe two more again. is that he is defeated in every area of your life. If you got sickness, it's already defeated. If you're having financial problem, you already can overcome it. If you got mental things attacking your mind, you already got a breakthrough. He is defeated. The only thing he can do to you is try to wear you out to give up on reaching what God has for your life. We looked at this last week. If your marriage is on the rocks right now, all you got to do is hit that relentless button and realize God already gave us victory in our struggle wherever it may be. The devil, I don't know, as believers, we got to get this. The devil is defeated. Somebody say he's defeated. The only thing he can do, his strategy, we looked at Daniel, his strategy for the New Testament believers is I can't defeat them, I just got to wear them out. We literally looked at the scripture, if you were here last week, where his strategy, his plan for the New Testament saints is to wear you down to the point you lose your pursuit for what God has for you. Because I can't defeat you, I can just get you to give up pursuing and you never walk in what God has for your life. And so we looked at that we looked at understanding what relentless is and the benefits of it. So I want to press this morning. Because there was two things we learned, and actually there's two benefits. So let me recap the two benefits. One of the benefits is when you are relentless, still recapping, the two things I gave us last week is that you learn to walk in the Word. One of the things is a relentless child of God has to learn to walk on a Word. That means that, you see, if you're not relentless, you kind of get a Word, but you don't hang on and walk on a Word. When we meet and have an encounter with God, we're always looking for God, the lights, the thunder, the shaking of the ground, and the immediate manifestation of what you're looking for. And there's times God will do that and God can do that, but there's other times, as we talked about, God also wants to know, can you walk on a word? You've been going to church all your life, and there's times God says, when you leave out of here, you need to hold on to the word and walk on a word. Now we looked at this because, and I'm glad the Holy Spirit brought this back, that we need to examine these two points, because when you walk on a word, and I told you, when you come to church, we don't come to church and we say, man, I got a word. Yeah, anybody ever say that? You go to church, like, I got a word today. What that means is you heard something that may have made you ponder or made you feel good or related to your situation, and now you heard something, but now it's up to you to begin to walk in what you heard. See, because just because you heard it does not mean it changes you until you decide that I'm going to literally apply this to my life. Let me work this. Let me work this for a minute. I use the analogy that when we come to church, it's almost like we're in a dressing room. We get something from the store, and then we go in a dressing room, we put it on, and if it feels good, if it looks right, we buy the thing. If we don't like how it makes us feel, or if it doesn't feel good to us, we take it off and we leave it. And sometimes we do that with a word when we get from church, like, man, that's not for me right now. God understands my heart. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, I'm in this situation. Oh, we're shacking together, but I heard about living not like that. And what we do is say, this is not for me right now. When you get a word, it's not for you to debate whether you put it back on the shelf or not. The reason God sent you was when you hear the word, you receive the word, and immediately the word becomes part of your life. It's not a word that you determine put it back or not. The reason God set you up to hear it is so you immediately don't wrestle with it, but you apply it to your life, and it changes your life. And too many times we wrestle with whether it's for us now or do we do it later, and a lot of times we say, God knows my heart. And God knows your heart, but God does not excuse your heart. And so you have to learn to walk on the word. You got to be relentless and say, listen, I'm going to get this word, and I'm going to walk on it no matter how long I have to hold on to it. Somebody say, you got to walk on a word. And the other part was understanding, if you're looking for God to restore anything to you, you have to be relentless. Restoration does not come without you being relentless. If you lost a job, if you lost a career, if you lost something that you know God says, I want you to have it back, you don't get it back by being a child of God. You got to be relentless, and you got to go say, God, I'm going to stay with this thing until I get this thing back. Because I know there are people in this room who you've lost something, whether it's good health or sound mind, or you've lost something financially, and you say, that is not of God. And the only way you're going to get it back is not with just a little shout, but you got to be relentless in your pursuit to say, I'm going to get back what the devil has for my life and my family. It does not matter what it looks like. You've got to be relentless. You can't turn your back. You can't tuck tail and run. You can't say, God forgot about me. You got to become relentless to get it back. And we looked at blind Bartimaeus, and there was a scripture, the New American Standard Version, I was asking about in Luke 18:41, because when we read this story about the blind man, if you read it in different translations, you missed it. When blind Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus, it was a restoration move. And go to Luke 18:41, and I want to make sure we got the right version this morning, because I need you to see, because if you read this in any other translation, he says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And what that means is when blind Bartimaeus, that we preach about all the time, cries out to Jesus, we think he was blind all his life. And when we read and we dig into the original writing behind the scenes of Scripture and you check different translations, you find out he was not always blind. He was in pursuit of something that belonged to him that life stole from him. And he had to cry out to God when other people told him to shut up. And it doesn't, you remember, they told him, hey, listen, be quiet. Don't bother Jesus right now. It don't take you to do all that. You don't need to go to prayer on Saturday. You don't need to come to church regularly. You don't need to sow and tithe. You know, but when you're trying to get back what the devil has stolen from you, can't somebody put their word on your effort that it takes for you to get back what God has for your life? That's why you have got to understand your pursuit and your relentless life is really a individual life. The way somebody else got it doesn't mean that's the way you're going to get it. You've got to understand that they can be an example for you, but you've got to be relentless within yourself. And I like it because, thank you, he says, when Lord said, what do you want to do? He says, that I may regain my sight. And I don't know who's trying to get something back to the way it used to be in your life that the devil has stolen, but I came to tell you, if you get a little bit relentless, God sent me last week to tell somebody it's time to get it back. It's time to get the family back. I really believe that. It's time for you to get back where you were with God. It's time for you to get back the career that the devil has stolen. It's time for you to get back the joy that you don't even have no more as a child of God. I believe it's time for many to regain what the devil has stolen, and this series about being relentless is for you to get it back. Touch your neighbor and say, you're about to get it back. I love it. I love it because you don't even see this in the regular writings of regular, you know, King James. You have to dig a little bit. And the Bible says, he said, I want to regain my sight. And now I know why he was shouting. Now I know when he screamed out, Jesus, and everybody's like, calm down, because he said, I need it back. And when you're praying for your children who have stepped away from God, and you come to church and you shout, and don't let nobody look at you funny. Don't feel the pressure of eyeballs on the back of your neck. You're trying to get your children back. You're trying to get your marriage back. You're trying to get a sound mind back. I ain't got time for the pressure of people looking on me. If you got to cry out, well, baby, cry out. If you got to shout, then baby, shout. If you got to run, then you got to run. But you got to do what you got to do to get back what God has for your life. Slap your neighbor. Say, I ain't here for you. I ain't here for you. So we understand the importance of being relentless. It's to get you to walk on a word, because when you walk, as you the leopards walked on the word, they saw as they held on and they walked on the word, the thing they asked God for began to manifest as they were walking. And if you've lost something, you've got to be relentless to get it back. And what I want to look at this morning for just a moment is the woman with the issue of blood. Because I like this, because she was in pursuit of what she knew God could give her. She was in pursuit of what God can get put in her life. And what I love about this is when I was thinking and studying about being relentless, she kept coming in my spirit. That this was a woman who the Bible says she was sick. She was broke. She had went to so many doctors, and the Bible said, all of them said, we can't do anything. And not only was she sick, broke, and they gave her a bad report, she'd been dealing with this for many years. That alone is enough to put you on Prozac. That alone is enough to drive you to drink every day. That alone will put you on, you know, the medicine called weed. You understand that stuff? They That alone will make you lose hope in God. To realize I'm broke, I'm sick, it's been going on for a long time, and people have told me there's nothing they can do about it. But what I love about her is through all of that, in her mind and in her spirit, she heard that Jesus was in town. I don't know if you get it, because this tells me something about this lady that we really don't catch, is that she's sick, she's broke, she's got a bad report that it cannot change, and she's been wrestling with this thing for a long, long time. Let me say it one more time in case we missed the bus this morning. She was broke, she's sick, she's been sick for a long, long time, and they told her there's nothing we can do about it. And she's went to many people, and all they kept giving her is the same report. But somehow she heard that Jesus was in town, and something inside of her still said, no matter if I'm broke, I've been dealing with it for a long time, doctor said there's nothing they can do about it, it's a sickness that's bothering my body, somehow she still believed that Jesus could turn it around. That's a relentless type of woman right there, that no matter the hell you're going through, the years you're going through, the effort you've already put into it, that there's always one answer that don't nobody have an answer for, and that is Jesus right there. If you try everything, you ran out of everything, you've been in it a long time, Jesus still works. God, please turn my mic up just a little bit this morning, because I think we got some hard of hearing somewhere in the building. Because no matter what you've been dealing with, you've been through counseling, you've been through bankruptcy, you've been through doctors, you've been to the courts, you've been through hell and back, I still tell you there's one answer that fixes everything, and it's Jesus, and that is the cure for longevity, that is the cure for poverty, that is the cure for mental illness, that is the cure when people say there's no other answer. Jesus will always work if you work him. Touch your neighbor, say he always works. And it's amazing, because I like it, because I would thought to myself that she would have been like, listen, I've tried everything. The Bible, if you read it, it says that she went to many people trying to figure something out. And I love it, because there's times in our life when we're dealing with an issue, a thorn in our side, that we sow seed. And then we come to church, and then we seek counseling, then we go to this person, and we go to that person, and it just seems like we've tried everything, and then you lose the pursuit of being relentless, because in your mind, you checked every box that you know to check. But there's one box you can never, ever, ever give up on, and that is the box called Jesus, because it doesn't matter how long it's been, how hard it's been, because when Jesus shows up, it will change, and it does not matter how long, God help me, you know how long she's been dealing with this. Listen to me, you know how we say Jesus is always on time. You know why we say that is because he is always on time. And it's not that deep, it's just that we want him on our time, but Jesus could have healed her 30 years ago. But what he decided to do was, listen, while you're in pursuit, it's not about you getting me, it's about me building you while you're chasing me. Jesus, oh God, this I hope this don't hurt your feelings, because he wants you to have the blessing, but it's not about you getting a thing, it's about you becoming a thing. And we shared a little bit this last week. It's not about, Jesus is not more concerned about us getting stuff. But it's more about us becoming stuff. And he will let you walk through this life and not get something as long as you're becoming something and you make it to heaven. Oh, that's going to be tight right there. That's that one you want to leave in the dressing room like, I ain't trying this on and taking that word with me today. Because that's why the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, meaning get stuff, but never become stuff, God help me, and lose your soul. And Jesus says, maybe the pursuit caused her to be better, so when she got the healing, she'll never be the same again. Because sometimes you can give people stuff, and they never change, but when they pursue something, have to work for something, have to chase after something, when they get it, they appreciate it. When they get it, they're humble. When they get it, they know how to thank God for what they got. Rather being a spoiled brat in the spirit and get your blessing from God and he never sees you again. But if you press and have to work through it, and when you get it, you begin to have sympathy and empathy for people with what you have. Touch your neighbor, say, I'm doing good right now. Because you got to know inside, you are doing good in your pursuit of God. You know how I know? Because you at church today. And many of us are still trying to regain and recover some things. Let me push. Here's what I want to give you, because I want you to catch this. Many times in our pursuit, we think because God says it's done, because I don't know, in John 19:30, he says it is finished. And one of the things I've taught you is that whatever you need, it's already done. Hear me. It's already done. But what we've got to understand is when you ask God and you seek God for something, we looked at the scripture last week, knock, seek, ask, it should be open. You notice the repetitiveness. Because God, when they knocked, why didn't you just open the door the first time? It's because God will guarantee you the victory. He does not always guarantee it on the first time. On the first prayer. On the first, let me come to church and get God's goodwill, because that's how our mind thinks, and he'll give it to me. It is about a repetitiveness, a steadiness, a constantness, and a relentlessness. And you notice, I'm gonna illustrate. I'm gonna illustrate this. Let me find somebody big up in here. Alistair, come here real quick. Let me use you. Because what I need you to understand, if you can stand right there in the middle right there, I want you to catch how this goes, is that the woman, the Bible says that she had an issue of blood. And she was here asking to be healed, but healing is over there. And the Bible says she sought many doctors. She's broke, spent all her money trying to get the healing. She had it for a long time. She started over here trying to get over there. And she went through everything she can go through seeking Yahweh, seeking God, but God never really gave her the answer the first time. Watch this right here. I'm going to illustrate the whole scene for you. Give me every man on this front row right here. Come on up here. Every man on this front row and every man on this front row. Come on up quickly as you can. Quickly as you can. I want you to be Jesus for me. This illustration comes back to my spirit. I want you to circle around him as close as you can, because that's Jesus. And I want to paint the illustration of what's in your Bible. All around him. Tighten up. Y'all too small. Anybody got some big men? I need some men. Give me a couple more men. Second row. Let's go to second. Any men on the second row? Get on up here. Come on. Give me some men real quick. Quick as you can. I need 3-4 men. There you go. You four right there. Come on. That's it. Come on up. I need y'all to circle around Jesus. Y'all got to get what this woman, you got to get what she had to go through to get what she needed. Okay. Y'all might be too small too. Okay, let me see. Come on over here. Come on over here. Now, brother, come on over here. Brother over there on the end, come on over here. I need you right here. I'm going to put y'all where I need y'all. And brother, come on over here. God bless you. Come right here. Amen. And brother, come right here. Kevin, come on that side. I'm going to put y'all where I need y'all. And Jose, come on this side. Amen. Go down over here. Because right there, and you stay right there. Amen. So here's what I want you to understand. That what she had to deal with was, first she was broke, first she was sick for years, then she got a bad report and they said there's no hope. So she had to not only press through that, but then the Bible says when she got there, that now she couldn't just get to Jesus right away. Because if you read the scripture, it says there was a crowd around him who was touching him as well. She wasn't the only one. The Bible said it was a crowd thronging him. Meaning that there were people, brother, come right here, come right here, and just stand right on this side right here behind that brother in the red. And meaning that she was like trying to get to Jesus. And you would think that when you're trying, this is almost like an illustration of your prayer life. Jesus is there, but you try to get through one, excuse me, and you're like, okay, I got through one, but you still ain't answered my prayer. Then I have to push this one out the way, and I'm getting a little closer. Why is it taking me to get through this? Now I've went through three things, but I still ain't got my prayer answered. It is almost what a picture of what God says is that just because you ask once does not mean that I'm going to answer right away. I believe the illustration of the crowd symbolizes the multitude of times that we attempt to get something from God. And so she had to go through a multitude. The Bible says the multitude thronged him. So she had to push one out the way and push another out the way. And she had to pray again and she had to fast again. And she still is trying to get to him. And many times, how many of us have fasted and we gave up, prayed and we've given up, sowed a seed and we've given up, showed up to church for 3 weeks straight hoping now I'm at church that God will see me again, and it still didn't work out? You've got to understand, just because you haven't got it yes does not mean the answer is no. Because this symbolizes the multitude of things she had to go through to get what she needed from God. And there's times many of us have fasted, have prayed, have showed up to corporate prayer, have done everything, started attending church more, and we're like, God, I still haven't gotten an answer. Here's what I want you to understand. That does not mean no. That means keep pursuing, keep going. And you say, well, Pastor, how do I know when I'm there? Is when you ain't got to pursue no more, is when you're there. You keep pursuing until you don't need to pursue. Many times we take that the delay of something is, as we say, means denial, but that does not mean that. That means God wants you pursuing like you've never pursued before. And I believe the multitude, everybody say multitude, does not mean that God has closed the door on your promise. I believe this illustration of her having to go through layers of people is really a picture of us to say, I prayed once, I fasted once, I'm doing this now, I'm doing that now. That does not mean stop if you haven't got there yet. It almost reminds me of, you know, how many licks does it take to get to the center of the lollipop? How many prayers does it take to get God to give you what you need, or for you to walk into what you need? And the answer is, as many licks as it take for you to get what you got to get. You keep on working. You keep on pressing. You keep on, because the thing is, she kept pressing. Somebody say pressing. And you got to keep pressing. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you got to press one more time. And I feel the Lord just hit me in my spirit. Somebody needs to keep pressing. Maybe you were about to give up, and maybe that's the only reason you up in here. And the same way she had to press, you got to press. And I don't know who's on the ropes right now, but keep on pressing. Keep on pressing. Keep on pressing. And when you press, I believe God will bring it to you, and you'll walk right into that thing. Because watch this, watch this, watch this, because I need you to catch this. Because there's two blessings. Men, stay there, stay there. I'm going to use you right here. Because there's two things I want you to catch that I need you to see in the text. Is that, here is it. Go back and tighten up the way you were. Here it is, here it is. The first point I want to give you is simply this right here. That to understand, to be relentless, here's a blessing that comes from it. You have to understand that relentless is being a generational blessing. Okay, let me make sure you catch this. It is, when you are relentless, it is generational, meaning that it is not just for you, it's for other people. Are you hearing me? Generation, when you are relentless, it's not for you, it's for other people. Okay, let me make sure you catch this. Is that when the Bible says when she pressed, it's amazing what we see. That when she got through it, you see that the Bible says she pressed. And when she got through it, she pressed, stay with me, and she had to get through all this. And she had to press, and she had to get through all this. And she pressed, and she had to get through all this. And she pressed, and she had to get through all this. And she pressed, and she had to get through all this. And she had to get to Jesus, and she had to press to get there. Okay, don't miss what you're seeing right now. Because what happens in verse 47 is what really gets me, that I didn't catch for a long time. Stay where you are. And in verse 47, put it up on the screen, the Bible lets us know that in verse 47, if you can put it up on the screen, I love it because it says, watch what it says, as the woman saw that she was not hidden. Oh, God. Meaning that she touched him, she pressed, and everybody was pressing, but somehow, out of everybody, she made the difference to Jesus. She touched him. She got to him. And when she got to him, watch what happened. She got to him. He said, who touched me? And what's amazing is everybody's been touching him. But only one person got his attention. And I don't know who, if you got to understand how important your worship is to God. Because there's many people who lift their hands on Sunday, but don't everybody touch Jesus with their worship. Some of us worship out of formality.
Some of us worship because we showed up to church. And then others worship out of desperation and out of love and out of honor and out of reverence of God. And that's the one when he looks down from heaven and he says, at real life, somebody touched me today. And we're looking around saying we're all worshiping, but some are worshiping out of formality. Some are worshiping out of technicality. Some are worshiping as a genie in a bottle, God. But then others are worshiping because we love God. We're worshiping because we're desperate for God. We're worshiping because if it isn't for God, we won't make it another day.
I like it. Because, but here's what you see in verse 47. It says, when she saw that she was not hidden. Oh, this blesses me. That means she's not hidden because I begin to look at this. Because she pressed and it all opened up. And Jesus turned for me. And he looked at her. All eyes on her, as Tupac said. So everybody who was touching him, look what she says. I can no longer be hidden in the crowd. That means out of everybody, they begin to see her encounter with God. And when she couldn't be hidden, watch what the Bible says, that she came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared to him in the presence of the people the reason she touched him. God help me. She got there, and now she began to tell him, I'm here because I got an issue. God help me. She didn't care who was here. She began to tell him, my problem is this, in the presence of everybody standing there. God help me. See, and this is a God, I feel this right here. This is why never be ashamed of your testimony. Never try to put down your issue. You better open your mouth when it's time to open your mouth. And if you got to tell people what you got to tell people, it does not matter. In the presence of everybody, she said, I got a blood issue for 12 years. And if you got to hear my testimony, you got to hear my testimony. Because as long as the Bible said they overcame the Lamb by the blood and the word of their testimony. And sometimes your testimony is the thing that gives you victory.
Watch this. So many of us are ashamed of what we're going through, ashamed of what we're dealing with, ashamed of how we've been in it. Let me tell you, everybody in here has been through what you've been through. Everybody in here has had a touch of what you had, a desire that you had, an issue that you had, a struggle that you had. The devil is a lie. Don't let him put you in a box of shame, a box of embarrassment. You break the hell out of that box and let the devil know there is not one righteous up in here. Everybody's been through something. I'm not ashamed of my issues. As long as God sets me free, I'm going to be all right. Touch a neighbor, say, I'm not ashamed anymore.
But here's what I need you to catch. Here's what I need you to catch. Here's what I need you to catch. She was no longer ashamed. That tells me everybody knew what was going on. But the reason they knew, because this is important, because church people, we get all, you know, we get classified. You got to be on a certain level to hear what I'm going through. You can only open this classified thing. And ain't nobody thinking about your classified issue. Just the busybodies. And they're the ones that jacked up more than all of us anyway. There are people who got lust issues and drinking issues and pornography issues and anger issues and drug issues and mental issues, and you come up in here all tight like you ain't letting it out. Baby, you better let that stuff out up in here. Talking about, I came to see Jesus. I need somebody to pray for me today. I've been dealing with this drug thing, and somebody told me if I come to real life, y'all real up in here. I can tell you I'm dealing with drugs. I can tell you I was strung out on this. I'm addicted to that. I'm in private time handling this issue, but I heard this is real life up in here. And we can be real because we serve a real God with real people, not being phony about what they're going through.
I'm almost done. I got to go. Watch this. She got there. And the Bible says she was there, but I need you to catch this. That means everybody knew her issue. They knew what she's been through. This is important why I believe this is in Scripture. They knew what she'd been through. And it says, in the presence of all the people, this messed me up, the reason she had touched him. And then it says, and how she was healed. She didn't just tell him the problem. She said, he did it for me right now. But what I believe that it says, in the presence, I mean, the crowd turned to her. And watch what happened. Now that they heard this, they paused. It was her and Jesus. Watch what happens now. It's generational, because now she showed a pattern to everybody else. Everybody else saw that this is how you get what you need from God. It's not by just trying to touch him. It's about being relentless to get where I'm at right now. She showed them the pattern of how to get where you're at right now. And one of the things you got to understand, and God began to show me this, the reason that everybody was looking at her, stay with me, it's only for the mature saints, is that the reason she was going through what she was going through, it was never for her, but it was for them. Oh, y'all not going to handle this right here. Because they never touched him. The Bible says they touched him, but they never got a result. But now, her whole pursuit had nothing to do with her, but it had to do with everybody around her. Because they were coming up empty. The only one that touched them was her. And when they saw, oh, this is how you do it, that they saw that you don't give up when you're broke. You don't give up because they heard all her story right there. They heard that, no, I need to be relentless in my pursuit. It showed them the pattern of what it needs to be. I don't know if you can handle this, but you got to understand what you go through sometimes has nothing to do with you but with everybody else. You're not going to like this. But sometimes God will let the devil come into your life and put his hands on you. He'll never take you out, but he may allow you to go through things because he's setting up a moment when everybody's going to see you get the victory. And sometimes what you're going through has nothing to do with you, but it has to do with everybody around you. But you're the only one he can trust to handle the burden and also get out of the burden so everybody else can see what to do to get free in where they are. Okay, okay. You say, Pastor, give me some scripture. Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross? He was on the cross for us. What he was going through had nothing to do with him. And sometimes we go through stuff that has nothing to do with us. This is heavy right here. There's another blind man in the Bible. When he became blind, the disciples gathered around and said, they said, Jesus, who sinned? This man or his parents? Jesus said, none of them sinned. This was all for the glory of God. Meaning he did nothing wrong to deserve this. I just used his life for this moment. So now you see me heal him. It's for the glory of God. And this is why you got to stay relentless, because what you're going through may not be about you. It may be about others around you. Because here's the other thing you need to catch. You got young people in here. Bring me up a young man real quick. Somebody young. Somebody young quickly. If you're under the age of 16, hustle. Quick as you can. Run to the stage real quick. I know. Run to the stage. Don't walk. Come on. Watch this right here, because every parent needs to just give me one, two, I don't care. Come on, twins, triplets, I don't care. Come on. Come on up, young man. Come on up. Stand right here with me. I need you to catch this, because watch what happens now. I really believe that every parent needs to hear me. Come on up. That's all right. Come on up. Jesus ain't going to turn nobody away. Come on. Come on up. Stand right there with him. Stand right there. Hear me. I need you to catch this. I'm literally almost done. Watch this. Because every parent needs to hear this. Not only is it for other people, but it's for your generation. Because I believe whatever issue you can overcome in your life, it opens the door for your children to get to overcome it in their life. Whatever you get through, they can overcome. Because watch what happens here is that this was once closed to her. She had to press through. And she had to get through, and she had to press through, and she had to press, 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 and she had to press before she finally got there. But I need you to understand what she did is, now that she's opened this up, if these are my children, what's what I've done? I've created an open avenue for them to get through whatever they've gotten through. I've broken the barrier so they don't have to go through what I went through to get what. God help me. I broke down that thing that was standing in the bloodline. I broke that thing down that was once something that we struggled, but because somebody pressed, it makes their children easier to get through what they went through. The Bible said that Isaac had to dig his father's wells, and he had to dig his wells. And what this is if there's any parents going through marriage issues, financial issues, let me tell you, keep pressing for your children. They may have the issue later on, but if you press that devil out of the bloodline, it makes it
easier for the children to get to Jesus when that same devil tries to attack their life. And I need somebody to get up in this place and say, I got to press for my children. I got to press for my generation. The reason why you got to overcome that issue today is so that they can get to Jesus themselves without going through the hell it took for you to get through it. That's why God is putting it on you, so your children don't have to deal with it later. The reason you're struggling with lust is so you can push that lust devil up out of your children's life. The reason why you're overcoming sickness is when it hits your children, they can overcome it because mama overcame it, daddy overcame it. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Get back. Watch this. Because now, close that back up to the way it was. Now, close it up. Quick. Now, so just right there. Now, if I give up on my pursuit, now they got to go do what I didn't do. God help me. But because I made it upon myself, and then let's open it back up, right back to where you were. Because I opened this up, and I opened this up, and I opened this up. I refuse to let the devil ever close it up, because I'm bringing them to church. I'm teaching them how to worship. Go ahead, go on in there, follow in and touch Jesus. Now if they ever go in line, now if they ever need years later to get to Jesus, I tore that thing up. I pushed that thing. They don't have to do all. They may have to walk through it, but baby, I already opened it up so my children can get victory in the. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. You got to pray. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you got to press through your marriage issues. You got to press through those panic attacks. You got to press through what's in your mind, because really it's not about you. You're going through it to open it up for your children so they can get through it later in life.
This is why you can't quit. This is why you got to press. Touch your neighbor, say, keep on pressing. Keep on pressing in what you're doing. Keep on pressing in how you're doing. Keep on pressing in every area of your life. Keep on pressing. Keep on pressing. Somebody say, keep on pressing. Thank you, gentlemen. Come on, give them a hand. They go back to the seat. I don't know who God is talking to, but you better keep pressing this morning. I don't know what you got to push out of your way, but you better push whatever the hell it is out of your way back to hell. And I'm not cussing. I'm telling you, it's hell that's in your way, and you got to push hell back to hell. I don't care. I don't know what you're going through, but it ain't even about you. It's about them children coming behind you and them grandchildren coming behind you and whatever you're struggling with in your mind and in your flesh and in your home and in your life. It's all because he's coming after your children. And Isaac had to dig his daddy's hole, and I refuse to make my kids pick up a shovel and move anything out the way. I'm going to push it out the way, so if it ever comes in their life, I've already overcome it so they can overcome it. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Here it is. I need you to catch this. Stand on your feet. I'm done. I need you to catch this. Part less. The second thing is this. I need you to hear this. Play with me and let's go. Watch this. It's because I need you to understand. Here's the other thing. There's a gap season. You got to catch this. There's a gap season. A gap simply means, stay with me. Jesus was here. Everybody's in a gap season. Jesus was here. Her issue started there, but she started pressing right here. So now she's in a gap season. And some of you got to understand, sometimes your gap season is your worst season. And your gap season... you got to understand this. When you're in your gap season, I want you to see this. You got to learn how to rest in your gap season. But there's a scripture I need you to see real quick. Because in Acts 12 and 6, I like this. What we have to do you realize how loud, how crazy the propaganda the devil threw at her life? When the doctors told her everything she went through, I want you to understand this. When the doctor told her all that, and she's been dealing with it for years, and she just, it was, and then she heard, I mean, how many know when you go through what she went through, how the devil plays with you? You'll never get through this. You'll never be healed. You'll die like this. You won't ever come over it. You won't ever get through it. He feeds you propaganda. Propaganda is just simply that. It's fake stuff trying to bring torment into your life. People have won wars over propaganda. They have won wars with dropping propaganda from planes, trying to bring fear into a city before they conquer it. And in the midst of all that, I can imagine that the people were like, don't come around me. Everything about you is negative. And I believe the devil just beat her down. But what I've discovered is this. When you're dealing with something, you've got to learn to just have a confident, and you've got to learn to rest in your issue. Don't stress in it, rest in it. Many of us will stress in something, but God calls us to rest in everything. I like this because Peter, the Bible says, when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping. I don't have time to break the whole scripture down to you, but you read it, and here's what I need you to understand. He was set for execution the next morning. This brother was about to be killed the next morning. He was about to be put to death when he woke up when the sun came up. And the Bible says they had him enchained. And the soldiers was there just in case he didn't get one of them Jesus things to show up. And somebody was to break him out. He was asleep. He had a soldier here and a soldier here and death in the morning. Chains on his arm and death in front of him. And the Bible says with all of that, this brother was asleep. Peter, how do you sleep when you're in the place you're at? You're in your gap season, and he was sleeping. He was in a place where he still needed God to do something, and he was sleeping. How many of us could sleep in chains? Not stressing and fighting and wrestling with something that God's in control of anyway. He was sleeping, and he was going to be put to death in the morning. Oh, God, I don't know if y'all hear me. The brother was literally sleeping, and he was going to be killed the next morning. And not only was he sleeping, but he was sleeping in chains. He wasn't even worried about these soldiers on his left and his right. He said, you know why? Here it is. Here's how you can rest, because he understands that, listen, it's just a gap season. In order for anything to be a gap, that means there's two edges. That's confident to know that, listen, that means you're in a gap season, that means there is a start of the issue, but that also means there's an end of an issue. Or it wouldn't be a gap season. A gap has to have two edges in order for it to be a gap season. So now we understood that his confidence was to know God had never put more on me than I can handle. I can sleep on this. God said he'll always make a way of escape out of anything, not just out of temptation. I can sleep on this. And I like it because when you know that you are where that woman was and you're in your gap season, you left and you're trying to get through it, you don't have to stress out and flip out and get all anxious because you know it's just a gap season. Somebody touch your name and say, it's just a gap season. That means that your gap season, yes, it has a beginning, but it also has a Jesus ending. Because that means that I may be in the middle and I got to press through it, but long as I have clarity and confirmation and revelation and understanding that it's the end to this thing, I can rest in it. But many of us can't sleep because we never realize there is an end to whatever you're dealing with. This is not an eternity issue. This is a gap season that you may be in. And when you're in your gap season, you got to rest on the word that you have. But here's a greater thing. And as God showed me this with that crowd and the people around it, he said, in the presence of all of them, that now if any one of them ever find themselves dealing with what she was dealing with, guess what they're going to do in their gap season? They're going to remember her.